This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network, bringing you all Noles all the time.
In Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to the basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting rolled banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something. I can really do this.
Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast here on Seminole Sports Radio. I'm your host, Jason Staples, and we are privileged to be joined by Florida State beat royalty, Wayne McGahee III, or Trey, as he's known to his friends and enemies. Good to have you with us, Trey. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, Jason.
So first things first, plenty of stuff swirling around Charles Kelly. He rebuffed his alma mater, rebuffed the Auburn University, the Alabama school on the plains. When they first came at him, offering him about $1 million a year, which is a nice chunk of change, upgrading from what he was making at Florida State, which if I remember correctly, is what, 563, I believe, this year?
586.
586 this year. Okay, 63 was 2013 then, or I'm sorry, 2014. So that's a nice upgrade there. But I think Florida State was going to be willing to match to a certain level. You know, Auburn's going to offer $1 million. Florida State's probably going to get you up into the 750,000, maybe 800,000 area. You know, make it worth your while to stay and have a nice talent edge and a possible national championship to your resume as a defensive coordinator.
And
pretty
you
good
don't
choice.
Have to play Alabama.
Yeah, and you don't have to play Alabama. You don't have to play LSU. You know, you may have to play Alabama, but if you do it, it's in the playoff context, which is, that's a pretty nice deal. And then Auburn came back earlier this week and has sweetened the pot, as it were. So now, why don't you tell us what you're hearing and where things stand with Florida State's defensive coordinator?
Well, from what I'm hearing, Auburn has come back and offered Kelly significantly more money than the $1 million. They were paying Muschamp $1.6 million last year, which is absolutely insane for a coordinator.
Yeah, and he got them. I mean, he did, though, improve that defense there by 0.2 yards per play over the prior year. So, I mean, clearly money well spent, right?
Absolutely. And, I mean, if you're just going to, you know, chuck money at the wall, why don't you chuck some my way? I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to that. But apparently they're offering Kelly one, you know, around, you know, somewhere in the ballpark of that. Which I think is crazy. I think Charles Kelly is a very good defensive coordinator. I mean, you and I both were on the bandwagon last year for this is not Kelly's issue. This is a personnel issue. Last year for the defense, and I mean, look what he's been able to do with this the defense this year. I mean, you're down 10 points per game from 2014.
Yeah, and he's a pretty darn good secondary coach, as it turns out, and can coach linebackers, you know, has a pretty good view of that whole back seven. He's a quality coach, and he's a quality recruiter. If you look at what Florida State's been doing on the defensive recruiting trail, particularly in that back seven, he's been doing well, and he's been doing well in his area. You know, he's a guy that's valuable on your staff. I don't think anybody at this point is gonna deny that from the Florida State side.
Oh, absolutely not. I just don't know that he's, you know, worth the $1.5 million that Auburn's throwing at him.
Yeah, well, Auburn's been known, they've been accustomed to throwing silly numbers out there of late because, you know, Auburn is, this is why I tried to tell people a couple years ago when that Auburn job went on the market that, you know, I'm not sure that Auburn job is really all that good. You know, if you're talking about a head coaching job, how good is the Auburn job really? And then you get some of course, the SEC partisans out there going, come on, it's a high-paying job in the SEC. It's one of the best jobs in college football. It's a better job than Florida State.
I wouldn't put Auburn in the top 25, but that's just me.
Yeah.
You have to recruit in-state against Alabama.
Alabama, and right now, it's even worse because it's not just recruiting in-state against Big Brother Alabama. It's recruiting against Big Brother Alabama with Nick Saban.
And now you have to contend
with
Georgia head coach Kirby Smart, who is, what, been Nick Saban's defensive coordinator for the past 7 years?
Nine.
Okay.
Yeah. So
good luck.
So yeah, I mean, this is the thing people don't consider, and you get all these people. It's the same thing that happened this year with the South Carolina job. You know, Auburn kind of fell into some good fortune in that Gus Malzahn wanted that job because he'd been there, and he knew they had a lot of talent left on that roster when he was going to take over, and you know, it was a pretty seamless deal for him. But you know, do they get Gus Malzahn if he hadn't been there as coordinator? I'm not sure about that. I mean, look at, again, it's a similar situation as South Carolina. The South Carolina job this year, they went out and they wanted Tom Herman. And Tom Herman, you know, he of course has his agent listen to things, whatever. And then Herman thinks about it for a second and goes, wait, why would I take South Carolina? I'm going to have to compete with a disadvantage against Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and on maybe even footing, maybe a slight disadvantage to Missouri. And in state, I'm at a disadvantage to Clemson. Why would I take that job? Why is that better than the Houston job that's already paying me $3 million
a year? Yeah, I still don't get the understand hiring Muschamp. I mean, I'm pretty sure.
They didn't. That was just an acquiescence of they didn't have anybody that wanted the job. See?
You go coordinator route. You can't. I just don't understand how you could go out and hire a guy that absolutely ruined a Florida program.
Well, no, Urban Meyer ruined that Florida program.
Yes.
Muschamp just couldn't completely fix it.
Urban Meyer left them with nothing. Muschamp actually ruined that team.
No. See, Urban left them with a huge pile of steaming garbage just ready to be lit on fire. And then
Muschamp, just throws gasoline on it.
Well, the thing is, Muschamp had great defenses there and did change the culture there to some degree, but they weren't able to get anything done on offense to actually be able to take advantage of that. But I think Muschamp actually upgraded Florida versus what Urban left that in terms of that situation. I think it was a better program when Muschamp left, and I think we're seeing that to some degree this year, when Muschamp left than when he took over. It just wasn't that much better program that you say, well, yeah, just throw him right back in there for a Power 5 job.
See, I don't know about that because, I mean, this year was a complete just oddity. They should have lost to FAU, Tennessee, Kentucky, Vandy. They should have lost to all four of those schools. We're talking a 6-6 program if
– Yeah, but that's what he took over from Urban, basically.
If the ball bounces a different way.
Right, but in terms of all those things, that's what he took over from Urban, and at least the program – was not getting ready to light the whole school on fire, which is what Urban was basically leaving him with. So either way, you know, they offered, you know, they wanted Tom Herman. Tom Herman said, thanks, but no thanks. Then they went after Larry Fedora from UNC. And Larry Fedora laughed at him. It was like, why would I take your job over the better job that I have at UNC, which is a much better job than the South Carolina job? And then Fedora's not taking it. So then they go to Rich Rodriguez, who everybody knows wants a job on the East Coast. The job that Rich Rod wanted was Virginia Tech. But Virginia Tech said, you know what? I think we can be more comfortable bringing this Fuente guy in and keeping our whole defensive staff, which ends up being a better hire for them. So they were, you know, that Virginia Tech job is a much better job than South Carolina. And they showed it by being able to hire who they wanted pretty quickly. And then after Rich Rod turns him down, they finally are going, well, geez, we can't get anybody. We wanted Kirby Smart, but Kirby didn't want us because the Georgia job opened. So, you know, they were negotiating with Kirby at one point, and Kirby was just waiting and waiting and slow playing, thinking maybe that Georgia job would open. And then that Georgia job opened, and he got that. And then they got stuck. So then they're there with Muschamp. So, and, you know, of course, Muschamp has been coming after trying to get Brad Lawing to join him, and Lawing has already been up at South Carolina, and he knows they ain't winning up there. He wants to win. So, you know, this is the thing, the same thing with Auburn. Auburn wanted Jimbo Fisher a few years ago. And there's actually a tweet that a few Auburn fans dredged up from some Florida State coverage, in 2012 saying, well, you know, Florida State wouldn't be all that bad off if Jimbo Fisher went to Auburn. I mean, he hasn't been that great of a coach anyway. and implying that the Auburn job would in some sense be an upgrade for Jimbo Fisher, which, you know, again, Jimbo Fisher, yeah, Auburn came after him, and he laughed at those guys going, I have a much better job at Florida State than Auburn. He coached at Auburn. He knows. Same thing, you know, again, with LSU. LSU came and they delivered a nice offer, a very sizable offer to Florida State's to Jimbo Fisher's agent, Jimmy Sexton. And then, you know, once that got taken to, you know, and of course those get negotiated out a little bit, you know, this is the way these things work for coaches. There's always this stuff going on the back channels, and we'll talk more about this on one of my next podcasts, more about the LSU situation in particular. But Fisher, again, he's got a better job. So but again, you go back to this Auburn job, and you know, a lot of people, these SEC partisans in particular, look at this and they go, well, that's the place to be. That's where you want to coach. Listen, if you are a guy like Charles Kelly, the reason that they have to pay out the nose to get decent assistants is because they know that they're competing at a disadvantage against Alabama, first of all, and then they're also at a disadvantage against LSU, and they're more or less at a disadvantage against Texas A&M recruiting-wise and in other respects. So you're fourth in your own division at best. And then you got Arkansas. And then you got Mississippi State and Mississippi, both of whom are trying. So if you're Charles Kelly, you know, it's really hard to turn down that kind of cheddar. I mean, once they start sweetening the pot to, you know, dang near $1.5 million a year, and they guarantee that for 3 years, yeah, well, at that point, well, let's say I go there and 2 years later that staff gets fired, or next year that staff gets fired, I can't turn this around. I'm still sitting on a pile of money that was guaranteed, and I can go somewhere else and revive my coaching career in that respect. But that's dang near head coach money. I mean, that's more than most mid-majors are paying their head coaches. So that's where a guy like Kelly has to think about a little bit.
No, I completely agree. I mean, you can't just turn down, you know, $1.5 million. That's just...
Well, you can. You can. It's difficult, though. I mean, if I'm Charles Kelly, I'm starting to think about it at that point. I'm not thinking about it at $1 million.
I mean, yeah, no. But, I mean, at $1.5 million, you could take and say you fail at that. I mean, say you just cannot revive, you know, the Auburn defense. It's just too much. Gus Malzahn gets fired. You're still going to end up with $4.5 million, and you're probably still going to get a chance to go coach somewhere else.
Just look at Muschamp. He didn't really turn that defense around. I mean, 0.2 yards per play difference. That was a lot better than what they did under Ellis Johnson, right? Well, maybe not. But yeah, he's got basically, if you're Charles Kelly, that's the calculus that you're doing at this point. And what you're doing is you're weighing that against the Florida State defense that looks like one of the probably three or four best in the country next year, and a team that is in the four, probably top four contenders for a national championship next year. You start weighing that out and you go, which one gives me better leverage for moving up, for continuing to move up in the future? You know, am I going to be better able to do this with a potential national championship defense next year and maybe the year following for a little bit less money now? Or would I be better taking the money now and maybe trying to turn some things around and working from there? And then you've got to weigh in, well, I like winning championships too, and I'm not going to do that anytime soon at Auburn. I mean, this is the calculus that these coaches have to go through when they're making these decisions.
I mean, I completely agree with that. I think that, I mean, it's just going to come down to whether or not he wants to go home. Yeah, do you want to go home for $1.5 million, or do you want to stay at Florida State and coach probably – you know, a team that's going to compete for the national championship next year.
Yeah, and the question again is also, once you've been in a coach's lifestyle for this long, is that really home at this point either? I mean, a lot of things have changed over the, you know, past couple decades, so...
Well, I understand. He's from Ozark, Alabama. He played at Auburn. He's coached at Auburn.
Yeah. Now, the question is, if Charles Kelly does take that job, there's a lot of questions as to who Florida State would bring in. I mean, there's not a whole lot of – this is actually one of the issues that's coming up right now is Fisher would prefer to hire somebody from the Saban defensive tree. But
yes.
The problem is that all those guys are now getting head coaching jobs.
At least all the guys that, you know, that Fisher coached with. I mean, you're going to have to dig deep to find one that, you know, Fisher coached with when he was at LSU, or, you know, what they have going at Alabama now. I mean, are you going to be able to pull a guy from that coaching staff?
Yeah, I mean, which is what he did. Well, and actually, come to think of it, you know, Jeremy Pruitt's still out there.
Okay.
Come on now. Jeremy Pruitt had some success in Tallahassee. You're saying that...
Yeah, he had some success at the Hotel Duval.
Well, you know, maybe you put it in his contract that he is not allowed to stay in a hotel or set foot in a Tallahassee area. Like, you could draw like a boundary. You're not allowed to set foot in hotel establishments in Tallahassee without, say, other team personnel present, you know, other coaches or whatever present. Maybe write that into his contract. I don't know how willing
Fisher would be to let him back on the coaching staff after what he pulled, considering he'd probably be gone within a year anyways.
What do you think the temperature is in hell right now? I mean, my suspicion is that it's above freezing. So I think Jeremy Pruitt probably not going to be at Florida State, but no, I mean, that's what he did when he hired Jeremy Pruitt, though, is he went to the Alabama staff and hired a position coach who was promising on their staff rather than going for a guy that he had specifically coached with. So I don't know that we have to narrow the list to guys that Fisher has specifically coached with in terms of defensive names. I mean, I know you were just looking up a lot of guys that he's coached with over the years, with, you know, Doug Mallory was one that you were mentioning off air. I mean, there are a few guys on that list. Go ahead and who else have you found?
It was Charlie Harbison, who's the co-defense coordinator at Auburn right now. And then Travis Jones, who's the defensive line. I think he's probably the least likely at that point because Florida State has a really good defensive line tandem in Odell and Lawing right now. And Jones he has coached linebackers in the past, but he coaches defensive line for the Seahawks right now.
Yeah, and Fisher has said in the past that he prefers his defensive coordinator to see through the secondary's eyes more often than not. That just in the same way that an offensive coordinator needs to be quarterback first in order to really do things well, in Fisher's view, and I agree with him, you have to see things from the quarterback's perspective. He thinks that defensive coordinators need to see things back to front. You have to be able to build your defense back to front and see things from more or less a safety's perspective or a secondary perspective in order to run a defense the way that Fisher wants to run it. So I think we can rule out defensive line only guys.
Yeah, I think, this is another here's another guy that I think would be, you know, Fisher would be very interested in. He's the defensive backs coach currently at Alabama. He's Mel Tucker. He was a defensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears, the Jaguars, Ohio State, coached at LSU, and now Alabama. So he has defensive coordinator experience. And if Pruitt does end up going back to Alabama, Pruitt coaches the secondary.
Right.
Tucker might.
Right.
I mean, it could be a situation where Tucker either gets promoted or is, you know, kind of forced out. So I think he could definitely be an option for Florida State as well.
Yeah, I think another interesting name to think about, you know, and again, this is all premature at the moment. We're recording this without knowledge of what Charles Kelly's going to do, but you know, this is going to be an eventuality anyway. I mean, Charles Kelly's not going to be at Florida State for, you know, the next 5 years anyway. I mean, he's going to move on to get himself either more money or a head coaching job eventually. I think another name that would be interesting that you know, Jimbo Fisher has a lot of respect for this person and has coached with him before is DJ Elliott, who's the defensive coordinator at Kentucky under Mark Stoops. And Elliott has coached. He's currently coaching linebackers and the coordinator and coordinator there. He was the defensive line coach, if everybody remembers that, back in 2010 to 2012 with Mark Stoops. But he has coached defensive backs back when he was at Texas State. So, you know, he's a guy that sort of knows defense across the board. And Fisher believes that that Elliott is a guy that eventually is going to be a head coach. So, you know, that's another name that, could potentially come out of this. I think it'd be also, you know, anybody that's coached with, say, Pat Narduzzi or you know, the Michigan State program up there with Mark D'Antonio up there at Michigan State. So there are a number of places, because D'Antonio, again, is from more of a Saban tree. I mean, he coached under Saban and with Saban, even though not exactly more recent Saban. So, you know, that kind of thing, again, teams that can teach a little bit more pressure, pattern matching type stuff. I think the interesting thing about Fisher in terms of defensive staff hires for the future is that we can't just narrow it to guys that he's worked with in the past. He does have a pretty extensive coaching network and is willing to, as he showed with the Jeremy Pruitt hire, to hire people that he regards as up-and-comers based on some of his contacts in the field, even if he hasn't coached with those guys in the past.
I mean, I don't disagree with that at all. It's part of the reason why I don't think DJ Elliott's would be a good fit. When Mark Stoops was here, Florida State fans wanted to run him off because of the style of defense that he played, which, I mean, the style of defense that he played made sense for 2010 Florida State. But in 2012, when Florida State had much better athletes, they had recruited better, they'd gotten back on track, he was still running the same defense, and it pretty much cost them the NC State game, along with Fisher getting complacent on offense. There was no adjustments made whatsoever. That's, you know, something that I really like about Kelly, is that he's been really good at making adjustments when it comes down to it.
Yeah, I don't know that Elliott would be at the top of his list, but I do think that Elliott is one of those guys that would be on Fisher's list. Just because, you know, having heard him talk about Elliott, he thinks he's going to be a head coach in the future and all that. The question is whether Elliott could run Jimbo's defense. And that's something else to bring up in this, is Charles Kelly and Jeremy Pruitt have basically been running Jimbo Fisher's defense. When Fisher hired Mark Stoops, Mark Stoops basically ran Mark's defense. He was running the Stoops defense, and Fisher gave him a little more leeway on that. But once Fisher got the athletes that he wanted, he basically said, this is what I want defensively, and has hired specifically for that. But this is Jimbo's defense. And the question is, who can he hire that's going to run his defense? Now, there's some other, you know, another interesting thing is whether Florida State would try to go after somebody from, say, the Clemson staff. Because, you know, Fisher also is a guy that tends to look at what defenses have given him trouble. And, you know, Brent Venables' defense has done fairly well. I mean, not super well, going back to, you know, 2013, against Fisher's offenses. And, you know, he at least has respect for Venables' approach and how he's gone about things. And you wonder whether a guy like a Mike Reed, who's the defensive backs coach at Clemson, would be a guy that, again, Fisher would think about. So it's a wide open thing. And again, this is a bit premature. We may have to just revisit this next year when, you know, if Charles Kelly chooses not to take this Auburn position, but it's a worthwhile discussion to have in any case.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, Kelly's not going to be here forever, and it's definitely something to look at and just try and figure out. It's going to be impossible to figure out where all Fisher would go, just because the coaching tree branches out so wide, because you have guys that Nick Saban will recommend. You know, he'll talk. I mean, they just, all the coaches that are under the Saban tree, which is pretty much nationwide at this point, would do a good, you know, job of talking and recommending and stuff like that. So it's pretty much impossible, but it's a fun thing to talk about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how fun it is if you're a Florida State fan is a question, given, you know, that you want as much stability as possible. But as Fisher likes to say, when in doubt, if they're not coming after your coaches, if teams are not trying to hire your coaches away, then maybe you got the wrong group. And Florida State has a number of coaches that teams have tried to hire away for years. I mean, you look at Lawrence Dossey has interest from the NFL every year, and he's turned that interest down. I mean, he's had offers multiple years, and he's turned those offers down year after year. Now, the question is, as his kids are getting finished with high school, whether that holds out long term. But again, you get, you know, Rick Trickett is a guy that if he decided he wanted to go somewhere else, would have an offer from anywhere in the country. Just about, I mean, there's maybe five or six programs in the country that wouldn't trade their offensive line coach for Trickett, and I'm not sure there's that many. And the only reason they wouldn't trade is because they have one of the other top five or so offensive line coaches, and they've already got stability there. And so, you know, but everybody else would make that trade. So Florida State's got a pretty good coaching staff right now as they stand. And again, this is one of the perks of, or one of the hazards of having a quality staff. And you got to give credit to Jimbo Fisher for hiring a good staff to this point in his coaching career. And again, we'll see if that holds out. It's one of the most difficult things for coaches, once they've actually built a program, to sustain it, is actually once they lose staff. I mean, we saw that at Florida State with what happened after Chuck Amato and Mark Richt and that group left. And, you know, those guys had been the foundation of the dynasty for over a decade. And then once they left, things changed. Be interesting to see what happens with Alabama, with Kirby Smart taking so much of that Alabama staff, both in the strength staff and elsewhere, with him to Georgia. So it's going to be interesting to see how this works. And that's one of the differences between top programs and, you know, the programs that can sustain, the coaches, head coaches that can sustain a program versus the coaches that can turn around a program but then ultimately not sustain, which, you know, still an open question with Urban Meyer right now as well. You know, he built the Florida program, and then once he lost the coordinators there, that program tanked. So it's going to be interesting to follow over the next few years to see how Fisher handles the natural transition that comes when you've got top quality assistants getting hired away.
Yeah, it's something that I think that it's probably his best attribute as a coach, is the ability to find quality assistant coaches.
Yeah, he's got a really good sense. I think he's one of those guys that does a good job of being able to measure up who he's talking to. He's got a good sense of whether a guy's really really bright and will be able to work on a staff with a guy as demanding as Fisher, and will be able to bring a lot to the table. And Fisher really values intellectual flexibility, and I think he does a good job testing for that among his coaches and his hires. And that's going to do it for us here today on the Unconquered Podcast. And before we get out of here, just a reminder, you can follow me on Twitter at Doc Staples. You can follow Wayne at Wayne McGahee, III. That's Wayne McGahee III on Twitter. You can, of course, find us also on Facebook at the Unconquered Podcast and on iTunes. Subscribe and please rate this podcast. The more 5-star reviews we get, the better. Helps push us up in the rankings. And you can find us also on Seminole Sports Radio, the VSporto channel. You can follow Seminole Sports Radio at Seminoles Radio for the latest on FSU sports. Catch both Wayne and my work over at Noel Digest and on the Noel Digest premium boards. And be sure to catch our next podcast, which will cover offensive recruiting. I'm Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, a VSporto channel. Thanks for listening. I made this.